down to a subsequent condition.
Okay.
And again, we're happy to provide the information as it comes in, and when we have been, I think we have been giving you the information as we have it, but it's sort of nervous to think that our permit could be here, could be held up for inability to get someone to respond.
Can I just make a comment or no?
Oh, excuse me, sorry.
Yes.
Is the when they make the application for these water, all that, septic wastewater, mm-hmm. all that stuff, it's strictly done through the state, right?
Those two permits, so the stormwater and industrial wastewater and the sewer system.
Sorry, to be clear though, we do have to sign off on a LUX saying that it's compatible with our zoning and that it's been approved. Right. It's subject to.
Yeah, that's before we can ask the state agency for the permit. So we first need to get through this process to get the LUX to get the state agency permit. Thanks, Daisy, for clarifying that.
So we're aware there is a form or something that shows that they've applied at least.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Or some, is that what the LUX?
Sort of. The LUX is our opportunity to tell the state agencies that they have received their land use permits. Okay. So it's a little bit funky because, and that's where we've gone back and forth, and we'll get more into this on the code amendment piece, but we understand the challenge with saying, okay, well, we want to see your permits before we approve it. So that doesn't make sense. So we do have a two-stage process where you go through a land use process, typically for the larger developments. We'll issue an approval, and then the state agency approval would come in at some point prior to construction or operation. So it does make it a little challenging, and putting it back on the applicant solely to say, oh, you should have gotten your permit before you came in, isn't necessarily super practical.
So are there studies done through the state then to mm-hmm. determine the impacts of these mm-hmm. facilities on the area, or is that up to somebody else?
That's the state.
And I do wish that DEQ was able to attend today, and we should definitely set up an opportunity for us to sort of bring them in, maybe in a outside of a specific permit. But yeah, they are very thorough. The studies, especially for these large on-site septics, are very robust, and that's a large part of the reason why they request that the county verify that it's permitted, so that they're not out there sort of wasting their bandwidth doing these super intensive studies and groundwater analyses and the whole nine yards for a project that isn't going to come to fruition.
Yeah, I like to think of it as like sort of a partnership between local and state, where the state agency has this expertise, so they do all of water, all of, you know, these large industrial wastewater facilities, but they first go to the local entity to do a check, like make sure this is allowed under your local code before we do our deep dive, like Daisy said. So it's a partnership between local and state that that's supposed to be more efficient, I think.
Any additional questions? Hearing none. All right, I invite any opponents to testify. Anyone have any neutral testimony or evidence? Okay. Do you have anything additional, Megan? Are you good? Okay.
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. I ask if anyone would like to continue the hearing or hold the record open. Hearing none, we'll close the public hearing. At this time, any additional questions for staff?
The water is groundwater. That's the primary source for the water for the facility.
It's a little bit complicated, but essentially they're relying on the Port of Morrow to bring water to the site through pipes that have already been installed for the most part, or they're in the process of being permitted or installed. I'm not really super confident on where they're at with that, but they'll go in the right of way and serve the site, and it'll be the same port pipe that'll be serving potable water, industrial cooling water, and fire suppression water.
So I do have a question about that. Mm-hmm. Where is that water coming from?
The port has a number of water rights, and it's Sarah, the port's land use attorney. I don't think I saw Jacob. They can talk about that. We just spoke about that this morning also. The port has lots of different resources, both Columbia River water and groundwater, and I'm not sure of the precise location of the water. So what our county council, legal counsel has said, as long as the port is the water provider and they submit a letter that says they have enough water to provide as needed, then we can check that box.
I think you have a hand up there in the water.
Who is that hand? That is David from AWS.
Yeah, Chair, if I may answer that question, we're going to have temporary groundwater until the port, we anticipate having a new facility built by the port and having permanent surface water from the Columbia.
Oh, David, can you introduce yourself and your for Michaela for the notes? Thank you.
Yeah, so my name is David Almanero. I'm representative of AWS, or I work at AWS, and address 211 Newell Street in Walla Walla.
Do you mind if I just ask out of curiosity, how much water do you use per day or month?
We don't disclose that, so we consider that one of our trade secrets.
So I've got a little history lesson for everybody here, because I am the longest tenured planner on the commission, and nobody was here at this time. So 3 or 4 years ago, we were asked to approve a solar project at the airport. And the water director, I believe, is Miff Devin, is that correct?
Water quality is.
Yep. Yeah. And Miff was also on the planning commission at the time. So we were asked to approve this solar panel, and my question was at the time, you know, why are we using industrial land for a solar facility when we have all this places we can put solar, not on industrial land? And the answer I was given by that commissioner in that position was, we don't have any more water to put out there. And you can look it up in the minutes. It was brought up. There's no more water out there. I'm like, well, I guess if there's no water, then maybe a solar is a good idea. That person quit 2 months later, and he's still in that position. And he informed me that there was no more water. And now we miraculously have more water. And so my concern is water and power, you know, and how much of it we have going forward, and where it all leads down, you know, down the road. So that was in the public record during the meeting, sitting right here. I believe we were here, maybe we were in Gordon. But I just wanted to bring that up. With we've gotten to here with no water, but now we have water, and now we have Columbia River water, maybe, or groundwater, maybe, or I don't really know, and we don't know how much we're going to use because it's a trade secret. I'm a little uncomfortable with that.
This is not the only data center using the water from the port, because the other one we approved, I will exclude myself from the vanilla, but was millions and millions of gallons coming from the port.
I don't know, because it's a secret.
So David, did you say you're going to use Columbia River water for this, ultimately?
Yes, sir. The temporary groundwater. We're working with the port to bring a Columbia River permit water solution for this project.
That's a transfer of water rights from another agricultural use, or from the port use?
I'm out of my depth on whose water rights they are, so I can't answer that, sir.
Yeah,
so typically, like, if we were going to rely on the city of Boardman, for example, to provide water, we consider that a municipal water source that's permitted under their own municipal water rights. So it's not our sort of authority to say, right, where is Boardman getting their water? Is right. it a well? Do they have a water right? Do they have enough water? And so the argument that the port made this morning was, we are a municipality in the same right, and that where we get our water is governed by our own permits, and that basically the way that from the land use perspective, it's either an on-site groundwater source or it's an off-site municipal source, and that even if they have commingled water, if it's coming from a surface source, if it's coming from a groundwater source, their sort of argument or their perspective is that we should view it the same way we would view any other municipal water right or water source.
So I would counter that with, I am tasked with representing the public in my position here. And I believe that the public should be able to know. I don't think that's an unreasonable request to find out where the water's coming from. That is counterintuitive to me. In this, in all of this, I think we need to shed light on where the water's going. Where I just think it's been too much of that. That's my opinion. And when I represent the public, I think if you ask 9 out of 10 of them, say, yeah, I'd like to know that. I believe that. I don't know that, but I do believe that people would like to know. And if it's a secret, I guess it's a secret, but I'm not comfortable with the secret, personally.
I mean, it's the Planning Commission's job to really get into the nitty-gritty and mm-hmm. figure out, you know, what we're permitting and where and why and from what. I think that those are really important questions to ask, and definitely things that we also need to be aware of what our, like, codes say and what the, like, state says, and kind of where our responsibility lies in terms of requesting that information. I think that we're asking the right questions. I think we're moving in the right direction. And I think that this is a great, like I said before, just a great opportunity to see, like, with our code amendments and what we're asking for broadly, how it implicates these individual developments, and sort of drawing those lines and understanding our responsibility as planners is super important. So I appreciate those questions.
Well, beyond the water, there's kind of a land use issue, I guess, is like the 5,000 feet distance. That really limits, I mean, can you never expand the Boardman Airport now? Because we're going to stack it full of data centers. And
probably.
So that really, I mean, it's basically no longer an airport anymore.
Well, it is an airport, but the reason ODAV recommends that is so that the existing footprint can function, I mean, generally.
But it just seems short-sighted to me to take an airport that's an airport and turn it into an industrial complex for full of data centers. You're going to have to build a new airport later. I mean, that seems just, from a land use perspective, that seems really unwise to me.
I would just say on the water question, I was looking to see where we have a standard that could require that they answer that specifically. I do know, I was just checking with a colleague from another jurisdiction, another data center developer did not want to disclose it, and they were forced by the courts to disclose it. So
my problem
is, it's not proprietary information if it's a public entity is providing.
We went round and round in Wasco County about this for a long time.
Exactly, yeah. The Dells, yeah.
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 Well, my problem is the person that's responsible for a lot of the water things at the port, in the public, you know, there's no more water, but now there's water, but nobody can tell us where the water's coming from.
So
just because something's allowed doesn't mean we have to allow it, does it? I mean,
you have to show that they didn't meet one of the standards in our code, and the port is that's one of the conditions. Daisy, help me out here. Is that they include a will serve letter from the Port of Morrow, and that sort of blanket. I suppose is enough for us to approve it. If you want more,
I can't imagine the port, if they commit to supply the water, isn't going to supply the water. But the question is, do we have the right to know to how ask. Much water that is?
Yeah, so what's our duty? If all they got to do is check all the boxes, why am I sitting here? I mean, if the boxes are checked, and why do we sit here?
I do have a question that goes on. I appreciate you guys so much. I felt so alone on these issues for so long. I appreciate you guys. My question goes right along with that is, I want to know where the water's coming from, because I want to have water. You know, I mean, it's very important to me. I'm a mile away, you know. So are they going to just drill a deep well, and what am I going to do, you know? It's kind of a big deal. When you're talking about not telling you how much water you're using, then you're not telling me where it's coming from. So.
Well, and the port doesn't exactly have a good track record with the water issue anyway, with the pollutants and all that stuff. I mean,
and like you said, we represent the public, and literally I am the public in this case. So.
We're all the public.
We are, yes. But, yeah.
There's a finite amount of it.
I'm asking Dan Kearns, our legal counsel, who's at another city tonight, but he said to text if an issue came up. So if that's okay, we can pause that particular issue and see what he has to say. You could always choose to continue the hearing while we deliberate on that particular topic. You can continue it to next month while we research that topic, or they could share that information if you're more comfortable about that.
I do have a question or comment too. I think there's been a lot of studies going on about groundwater in our area.
Yeah.
And I would really feel like, you know, just knowing what's there, what's available, even an estimate on capacities, I think it would serve us all very well to know, when we're approving these giant projects, to know what we're giving away of our natural resources. Because if it's going to just be a place where we serve data centers and not homes or residents, if it's not capable of supporting that, I think we need to know that when we're planning mm-hmm. for the future. I think it'd be good information to have an idea.
Well, the will serve letters, in theory, address that concern. So if an entity says they can provide water, we presume they comply with all legal and regulatory requirements to do that. And we pass that off. That's not our job to make sure we know exactly which water right and exactly what regulations they need. We had a long conversation with the port about that today. And they have a lot of different water and water development projects going on. So our council, while we were working on this and another project, said the water, the will serve letter is sufficient. But again, if you want us to vet that legal issue, we can.
So I do have another question. So say, and this is a theoretical question, but say we do run out of water. Who gets sued? I mean, like, seriously. Like, what happens? What does that scenario look like?
Well, I don't think the county would for approving a permit, but it would probably be a contractual dispute between the developer and the water provider. But what other fallout implications does it have, I think, is your concern. Like, who else does that affect?
And we don't have unlimited water.
Mm-hmm. Tim, like Crown's asking, if we're just checking the boxes, like, how could this be denied? I mean, is this something that, what would we be denying right now?
So in Oregon, we're required to, like, get to yes. So if we determine there's a standard that isn't being met, we're required to make an attempt to draft conditions of approval that solve the issue. And the denial is for situations where we can't get to yes, we can't basically resolve those concerns. And this is a big part of the reason for, like, with our code update, we're changing some of the language, because right now, what is the standard for approval for these is the applicant shall determine if compliance is required with OWRD and DEQ. That's the standard. So, and that's not really a standard.
Sorry to interrupt. So what are we saying yes to right now? I mean, I guess it's just like 200 days here. I'm trying to pull it down.
400.
What are we actually saying as, like, making a motion for saying yes to? Like, what will we actually be saying yes or no to right now?
The data center.
Just have to continue.
Go ahead.
We have to continue to approve these until there is no more water. I mean, that's what we're going to be asked to do, whether we want to or not. There's only so much water. There's only so much power. And from what I understand, we're getting there. So at what point?
I think at this point, it's imperative to sort of think critically about what those conditions of approval are, what those standards should be, what are the submittal requirements, like how do we resolve these concerns in a way that, like, satisfies those.
I don't know that we have enough information for me to be comfortable to say it's resolved. I don't know how much water there is. I don't know where it's coming from. I've been told by people in court that there is no more water, and now there's more water. I don't know what to believe. It's a secret.
I do have another question or comment as well to your point. Where is the power coming from?
I knew this day was coming because 2 months after I was informed of that, then we approved some of this stuff so this could happen. And it's been 4 years of me waiting for this day after I was told in a meeting that there was no more water.
We can continue the hearing and get some clarification on that matter.
Mr. Devin to come explain why there's water now and there wasn't.
Before. And do we know the power?
The power source is a third party. It's coming from the west. It's Pacific Core. This is the only campus I know that's outside of the UEC service territory.
What would you need a motion to continue? Is that all you need?
You can vote to do that.
So we're here though. What? This is a ministerial decision. You said right.
We've elevated it to a quasi-judicial. Anything that comes before you is quasi-judicial. It's a land use decision, not a conditional use. So it's not as subjective, if you will, as a conditional use. But if there are standards in here that you think are not clearly met, and you have a list of questions for us, we can continue this to next month.
I'd love to know.
If that is an option, we would like to know the basis for the continuance specifically, and we would like to know the code requirement that forms the basis for the continuance. We have provided all the information that we were asked in accordance with the submittal requirements in the code and in accordance with the review criteria in the code. So we just would want to know that.
We were just, I need to look at my zoning ordinance. I know a member of the public can request a continuance and is automatically granted. I just need to see if the Planning Commission has that same ability at the first evidentiary hearing, and that would be tonight. I don't know if there are any standards in particular that you think they have not clearly met. Maybe you could look at that, and I'll look at the zoning ordinance.
I think it'd be helpful to think about drafting the conditions in a way that would help answer the questions that were raised tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my recommendation.
We could make that a precedent condition, that they provide verification or, I don't know exactly where it is there in the supplement or in Article 4.
Well, we can say that, I guess we can't. I'd say maybe the airport expansion thing might work.
I mean, that's a land use issue, and I think it's very short-sighted to fill up the airport property with data centers. It's not an airport anymore. It's becoming something else.
So it's an allowed use, is that right?
It's
this is an allowed use.
Yeah, it's an allowed use. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, upon closing of the hearing body will deliberate the question and reach a decision or continue the matter for further study or decision to a time and place then announced. It doesn't say we have to identify exactly why. Megan raised her hand, Chair.
Yes. And she's off.
So I think, just backing up for a second, one of the questions that arose was sort of, what are we saying yes to now, and does this just keep happening, and, you know, then we just run out of water and power? And I do think this goes back to the partnership between the local entity and the state entities, and what you're saying yes to right now is a land use approval. You're not saying yes to using water, you're not saying yes to using power. Those are issues that you are looking at when you're issuing your land use approval, but that is not the actual, you're not authorizing anything relating to water or power when you issue a land use approval. There are a number of other permits that have to be put in place before a data center is up in operation, and those do include things like water and things like power. And with respect to water, there's an entire water rights, body of water rights law that governs and is supposed to sort of address some of the issues that you all raise and gets vetted and analyzed through the water rights issuance through OWRD and not through land use approvals. So I would just, first of all, just start with that this is really just one piece of the approvals that need to be put in place for data centers, and that AWS has been working very closely with the county staff on these specific issues in relation to the code update, proposing very specific language to address these concerns. And in the context of this specific application, has provided all of the information requested, and more, in fact, in more than what is required under the current code. And so we would actually prefer a decision on the application. We've already butted one of the reasons also, you know, due to our timelines and the fact that we've got a 150-day review deadline, we would ask that the Planning Commission make a decision on this tonight.
Chair Ekstrom?
Yes.
There's one more. Jacob Kane has his hand.
Oh, okay.
Jacob, the chair has recognized you. Jacob, the chair recognized.
I did not mean to raise my hand. I'm pressing buttons on this laptop. But I'm not working.
All right.
All right,
so Tamara, we can just make a motion to continue. It's our pleasure.
You can.
I would like to make a motion to continue.
Wait, did you click? It says in our code after the, sorry.
What if no one makes a motion?
Then you would approve or deny the application.
So you close the hearing. It says here the decision of the hearing body, upon closing the hearing body will deliberate and reach a decision or continue the matter for further study or decision.
Yes. From a staff perspective, I would appreciate some direction on what we're, mm-hmm. We don't need to have some specific standard that we are basing it on, but to have some direction on what information you need in order to make the decision, if you do choose to continue.
I'd like to know what information we're entitled to.
I would like to know how it truly impacts our local areas. I don't think we ever get a clear picture of that in our applications.
Into what areas?
Just people that live there, around them. But sometimes we give up farm ground, sometimes we give up water, so, you know, I think there's an impact that we don't talk about in the applications.
And then Commissioner Finch wanted to know how this would impact the future use of the airport?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think Brian brought up the power issue. I think that's a huge one. We're going to be overrun with power lines if we're not controlling the use of the power that we currently have. Okay. Substations.
Was, okay, are you really raising your hand or just?
Yes, I'm really raising my hand. Sorry I'm late, I got held up at a kid's practice, but I got here as soon as I could. It sounds like there's some questions raised about water or airport. If there's a way that I could rehear those questions and answer what I can at the time, or if there's anything I can provide now instead of later, I can do that.
Jacob, could you first introduce yourself and what capacity
you are? I apologize. Jacob Kane, Director of Engineering for Port of Morrow, here representing the Port of Morrow.
Can I ask Jacob a question?
So the questions that have been brought up tonight have to do with where the water is coming from, the amount of water that's being used. Those are two big questions that have been asked.
Okay. So where the water is coming from is an easy question to answer. There's two water rights associated with industrial development for the airport zone properties. One is a 700 gallon per minute deep basalt well. It's a new drilled well, recently drilled in the past 18 months. It has been yet to put into service, but it is there's an old right on an old well, and we transferred that point of delivery to a new well, and we drilled it recently. The old well had potable water construction standard issues, and that's the reason we had to drill a new well. But it's been there for a long time. The second right is a Columbia River surface water right, and that water is going to come from the Columbia River through an existing suction facility, treated through ultramembrane technology, which we're working on that process currently through the design and permitting through OHA. And really, that's kind of a long-term solution to these questions. That initial deep basalt water right would provide the initial flow for what this campus you see in front of you. The second surface water treatment facility would be in addition to for extra redundancy in the future. And that right's a 10,000 gallon a minute right.
Jacob, how much water would be supplied to the site?
How much water is going to be supplied to this site?
Yes.
So on an annual basis, and I've got I'm trying to remember the exact numbers, I don't have it written down, but on an annual basis, I would say uses similar to this proposed use would use anywhere between 20 and 25 million gallons per year.
Thank you.
So you run that down to an actual flow rate, and it's a very minimal flow on an annual basis.
80 acre feet, something like that.
I'm not sure what the actual.
1,000 gallons per year.
Thank you. Any additional questions for Jacob?
Dan Kearns is here.
I see Dan's there.
Thank you.
Do you want to ask about this as the airport sponsor?
Well, there are some questions. I just got the tail end of a question about impacts to airport. Is there anything I can answer in relation to that?
75 acre feet.
Yeah.
Yes. As far as it being in proximity to the airport, it looks like, that's going to hamstring any further expansion to that airport, considering that you can't put anything within 5,000 feet. But especially if we approve this one and then subsequent data centers, isn't that kind of going to severely limit what can be done at the airport going forward? I mean, I know it's probably not extremely busy, but.
So there's two zones out there. There's an airport industrial zone and an airport light industrial zone. The airport industrial zone is 880 acres directly around the airport. And you might be aware, airports have like very long range planning associated with them. So there's an airport layout plan associated with our
Boardman Airport. And today, that plan has been in place for many years. And that the airport layout plan, as it's presented today, or as the way it sits today, has no future use allocated to the parcel of this application. So this application's outside of the actual airport industrial zone, outside of that core 880 acres. So there would be no use around an airport on an airport light industrial zone piece of property.
Does that line get larger though when you're talking about extending 5,000 feet beyond the site for the clearance for the birds in the runway? I mean, 5,000 feet, that's like a mile, isn't it? That's going to put it in the airport zone, it looks like.
So I'm trying to understand the question. So I think that the site, I'm trying to think exactly the dimension of from the end of the strip this site.
So there was a recommendation. We got a recommendation from the FAA, I guess it was, or Oregon Aviation Authority, that the pond that's on the facility, they're going to have to draw a line 5,000 feet from that pond to any runway, and then you're not going to be able to, because of a bird strike danger. So it looks like the actual footprint of the site is going to be bigger than what's drawn out there because of the pond on site and potentially extended into the airport zone.
So there's obviously an approach angle off of the approach. I can tell you I have heard the 5,000 feet in the past from the approach and the takeoff position from the strip itself. We've always looked at this site being well exceeding the 5,000 feet. I can't remember exactly what the dimension was, but I think it's like, I don't know, 7,000 feet or something from the edge of the existing strip. So obviously we have reached out to Oregon Aviation on this subject, just to make sure that the airport sponsor ourselves, don't have any additional obligation above and beyond what that, 5,000 foot rule is. And we don't feel like there is any obligation on the port today. But we're still waiting for clarification. But from our initial analysis, we don't see a bird approach or takeoff being an issue with a pond over 5,000 feet.
What's the current length of the runway?
5,000.
Much?
I think it's about a mile.
Small runway.
I think it's about 4,000. Hold on one second.
Yeah, just under a mile.
Stand by.
Your maps are super helpful, Steven.
0.81 miles.
He just said the runway is 4,200.
It's about approximately 4,200 feet.
Okay.
It's over 7,000 feet.
Not long ago.
I mean, you said you're awaiting clarification from Oregon Aviation. Is that correct?
Just as a cursory item, we just wanted to find out what the airport sponsors, as being the airport sponsor, we wanted to better understand what that role really meant. And as you're probably well aware, sometimes responses from state agencies take a little while. But our cursory review tells us that the site as proposed isn't at issue with that approach or takeoff.
So, Jacob, I'm looking at the map and I've got the approach, the 3401 approach surface mapped, and the site's well outside of that approach surface.
Mm-hmm. That's consistent with what we've looked at.
I see.
Where does the cooling water get discharged to?
An evaporation pond.
Did you hear that question, Jacob? Or maybe it's for Megan or for David. Commissioner Thompson asked where the cooling water would be discharged.
And I think I can let AWS answer that question. They've got a lot more knowledge on the inner workings of their site. I know that there's a short-term and a long-term solution, but I'll let AWS answer that.
Okay. Jesse has his hand raised. Is he? He's part of the consulting firm that works for AWS.
Oh, okay.
Chair is recognizing you, Jesse.
Jesse Wolf, Integris Architecture, based in Portland. Do you know my address?
Yes, for the record, please.
Okay. 707 Southwest Washington Street.
Thank you.
Suite 1200.
Thank you.
The cooling water question, the cooling water is being discharged into the smaller of the two on-site ponds on the south side of the site.
About in the lower right, is that right, Jesse?
What was just circled on the screen by Stephen.
Okay, thank you. And then what's the pond on the top?
Ask him there.
Oh, that's storm.
Pond on the top is storm water retention.
Okay.
So all that water is evaporated out of that pond, 75 acre feet annually?